May the Lord's Spirit be upon my lips and in each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. The time from the beginning of this year until Easter, we've declared a season of rest and renewal. And I promise that you're going to hear about this every week for that entire period of time until we all get it, including me. Rest and renewal in the Lord has a lot of dimensions to it. One of the portions of it which maybe is not so readily evident when we talk about rest and renewal comes from Romans 1:16, and it says this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks." To the Jew first, by the way, in the Greek there means first in time. They heard the gospel first, and then the Greeks, which means all of those who are not Jews, heard it afterwards. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto the salvation of everyone that believes." A few weeks ago we talked about casting out the spirit of Felix Unger. Felix Unger, you remember, was the member of the Odd Couple who always had to have everything exactly right, and everything had to be done. And so he was in a constant stew to get things right and get things accomplished and completed. And even if Jesus had come here and said that he simply wanted to spend time with us, Felix could never have brought himself to sink to the ground at Jesus' feet and just spend time in his presence. He would need to be busy doing things for Jesus to make sure everything was okay and everything was under control. And then last week, we talked about the importance of being in community. Those who live alone grow peculiar. Remember, I talked about that. And not just that you live alone in a house, but that you have no community, no family of God to interact with, to rub off the sharp edges, to hold us accountable, to encourage us and hold us up when we're struggling, and to carry our burdens. We talked about carrying each other's burdens, and particularly burdens that aren't our own. It's one thing to just swap burdens when they're about the same. It's another thing entirely to carry the burden of someone when the burden isn't yours. And this is the nature of the faith community, that we carry each other's burdens, we love each other even when it's really tough, we hold each other accountable, we hold each other up. All of this happens in the community, in the family of God, when we gather together, and when we live our lives together in the course of the week. Now, can you imagine that you might find yourself saved by Jesus Christ, brought onto salvation by him, beginning or in a relationship with God which is healthy and life-giving, beginning to have relationships with other brothers and sisters in the faith, or deeply having relationships with them, really understanding what it is to be loved without judgmentalism, by people who care about you, they know how you fall down, they know how you get lifted up. Really loving these brothers and sisters and being loved by them through bumps, through times when every one of us is a little bit stinky and a little bit hard to get along with and suffering a little bit too much this week to be particularly nice to anybody. Through all of that, we stick with each other. And we learn that the Lord is faithful. he is. Now, can you suppose that we would find ourselves in such a family of God with such a faith growing in our hearts and then be ashamed to tell anybody about it? To go to work or be in the store and be ashamed to admit that this joy that I was beginning to experience, this relationship with God that I was beginning to experience, this relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ that I was experiencing, that I would be ashamed of that? That I would be ashamed of what had been done for me in bringing me into this so that I wouldn't mention it? Or if someone asked, perhaps even might deny it, as Peter did just before the crucifixion. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. In the Greek, the word ashamed means ashamed. There's no special message beneath this word. It means ashamed, to feel shame. And Paul is saying that he isn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel means good news. Good news. Now, if you got a phone call and you were told that you had just learned that your cousin in California had won the Nobel Prize in medicine because he had discovered a cure for cancer. Thank you. Would you not tell anybody? In fact, if you had discovered the cure for cancer, would you keep it a secret? No, it's good news, and you want to share it. You want to share it. That's what the word gospel means. It means good news of Christ. Christ means the anointed one, the one on whom the Holy Spirit fell, the one whom God touched and said, I anoint you to bring salvation and healing to this world. It's good news. The good news of the anointed one. That's what Paul's not ashamed of. And he says of that good news of the anointed one, it is the power. The word in Greek is the same word that we have for dynamite. It is the power of God unto the salvation, the saving of everyone that believes. How could we not want to share this? I would say that no one in this room, really in their heart of hearts, isn't ashamed of this gospel. I don't think a single person here is ashamed of this gospel. But we are often embarrassed by the way other people have shared the gospel with us and in places where we've been. Most of us, I think, have probably experienced the overzealous super Christian that we've met on the street somewhere. And this is almost always someone who seems to be artificially bubbling over with happiness. It's put on. And they come up and they say something like, brother, how are you today? Isn't it a wonderful day? How are you today? And you know what you want to say is, what are you selling? Because only salespeople come up to you with that kind of approach. And whether they're selling the gospel or they're selling toaster ovens, you know somehow that when they bubble that way, there's an ulterior motive behind that artificial joyfulness. And very often I've experienced that those same folks really are not so much interested in sharing good news with me as they are in making sure that if I might happen to believe that my doctrine conforms to their doctrine. And if I don't yet believe that as I come to faith, they want to make sure that my doctrine conforms to their doctrine. I remember I mentioned this one time before. Dolores and I, just after I was called to this church and before I had spent my first Sunday here, met in Elmhurst at a Starbucks. And we were standing outside the Starbucks after we'd been talking for a while, And a group of street evangelists came up to us on the street with that same kind of bubbly, hello, how are you? Isn't it a wonderful evening? And we talked to them for a while, and they said, do you know Jesus Christ? And we said, we sure do. And they said, have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? And we said, we sure have. Praise God. Isn't he good? And then they proceeded to lecture us about how we weren't really saved because we had not been baptized in their church. And they gave us a little doctrinal lecture about how important it was to be baptized in the church of which they were a part, and that no other baptism that we had experienced was genuine, and therefore it didn't matter what we believed, we weren't saved yet. And we needed to come back with them to their church that night and get baptized. We didn't go. Now, we didn't lecture them. We just said thank you, but no thank you. The reason I bring this up is because I think very often when we think about sharing our faith, we think of ourselves doing something like what they did. Now, there are folks here who absolutely can talk to anybody on the street anytime, and it's a great gift of God. I used to have a friend I went to seminary with, Peter. I have never seen anybody do street evangelism like Peter does. He was fearless, but he wasn't fake or artificial at all. He was just full of the joy of the Lord. And I've told a couple of you about one time he walked into an antique store and was looking around at some of the stores and at some of the items in the antique store, and the woman there said, can I help you? And he said, what's God been doing in your life for the last week? Which is a question he used to just ask people at random. And she said, nothing, I'm an atheist. And he said, nah, you're not. And she said, yes, I am, but I'm an atheist. He said, no, you're not. He said, you know what, I'm pastor of a little church just the next town over. How'd you like to come and teach Sunday school? She said, are you nuts? I just told you I'm an atheist. Why would I want to go to your church and teach Sunday school? And he said, you're not an atheist. I know you're not. I know in your heart of hearts, you know there's a God. I want you to come over to my church and discover whether he's really there. And if he is, would you teach Sunday school? She came and she teaches Sunday school in the church. She's a believer today because Peter was fearless and didn't stop. And he wasn't artificial at all. Wasn't artificial at all. I think for most of us, really though, it comes down to something this simple. That we're not ashamed to admit in public that we're Christians. We're not embarrassed to talk about going to church on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. We're not embarrassed about talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not ashamed to talk about what Jesus has done in our lives, the way we've changed since we've been introduced to him, even if we're just getting to know him. We're not ashamed to talk about the things that are happening in us. Even if we don't understand all of them, we talk about it anyway. And I think when we talk about ourselves and our own experience, people's defenses don't go up. They don't feel like their worldview is being attacked by someone who wants to impose their worldview on top of them and drive theirs out. If you just say something like, I had a great time in church Sunday morning. We did so-and-so. They may say anything in response or nothing. But when they've heard from you a few times about some interesting thing you did with friends at church, like the Kaisers and the Gladwins are cross-country skiing. That's why they're not here this morning. They may be in church this morning, but yesterday they were cross-country skiing. Together with brothers and sisters in Christ. Went with some folks from church, cross-country skiing up in Wisconsin. This is an easy thing to say. It's not frightening. It's not imposing. It doesn't drive defenses up. But it begins to share the fact that you find joy in your faith and joy in your Lord and joy in the good news and what that good news meant to you. The end of the book of Mark, Mark 16, verse 20, says this, and they went forth and preached everywhere, sounds like my friend Peter, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, interesting, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. The word signs in Greek means miracles. Because what happened is they simply shared the gospel with people, and miracles happened when they did it. Sometimes those miracles were miracles of healing. Sometimes they were miracles of redeemed lives, lives that were misguided, utterly lost, or just wandering, not sure where they were going or what they were doing, and they heard the good news, the gospel, and life began to change. Signs following as our life begins to change. The one caution that I want to give in sharing the gospel is to understand that in inviting others into the kingdom, we do not take that as an opportunity to lecture. We don't take it as an opportunity to straighten them out right there and then on the spot. The Lord is very gentle. Heaven knows, if he hadn't been gentle with me, I wouldn't be here. He was kind and enormously patient. Enormously patient. And I was invited into the kingdom. And eventually, it got through this thick noggin of mine, and I turned and began to follow. I know that when I was lectured by people who wanted to argue me into the kingdom, all that happened was I argued back. And I defended what it was that I believed to prove to them that what they believed was mistaken or small-minded. And it didn't get me closer to the kingdom. It was by invitation that I got closer to the kingdom. Now, I believe, just so we're really clear, that doctrine is enormously important. It really means just a right understanding of the character of God. And there are volumes of misleading, error-filled doctrines of demons about, even in the church, and certainly in the world, people who are Christians or alleged to be Christians who teach things which are at odds with Scripture. And I don't believe we should put up with that. I don't believe we should teach it. I would ask you, as I have before, if someone comes into this church, including me, and preaches something from this pulpit which is contrary to what's in Scripture, I want you to be on your feet and say, "You can't say that. That's not what Scripture says. That's wrong." We have a new bishop that we have elected in this diocese. There are some things which he teaches which I believe are wrong and are not scriptural. And he may someday be in this church. And if what he preaches is from the Scripture, fine. And if what he preaches is contrary to the Scripture, I'll be on my feet. I hope you will be on your feet. And say, "What is it that you're trying to tell us? It doesn't say that. In fact, it says something opposite of what it is you're trying to teach us." And we won't abide false teaching. But the place for that is not an invitation. The place for good teaching is here from the pulpit. It's in our Bible studies. It's in our small groups. And it's never done this way. We don't hit people on the head with the Bible. We invite them into it, and we invite them to consider God's Word and what He says and what He reveals to us. It's the Holy Spirit's job to hit him in the head. And He's good at it. He's very good at it. He's the one that opens our eyes when we read the Word to show us the things that are contrary to what we may have believed. So my whole message today is this simple. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Be proud of it. If Dennis Rodman cannot be ashamed of all of the things that he can do in public, on television shows and in other places without fear, and he's not shamed by anyone How could we, who have a relationship with the most holy God of the universe, who made every one of us, and who desires only that we have relationship with him, how could we be ashamed to declare it and to claim it and to share it? But in sharing it, let us show some of the gentleness and humbleness of heart which Jesus had and has for each of us, that we would invite others to know him, that we would invite others to share the good news, but not in a condescending way, not in a lecturing way, just by invitation. And let the doctrine and the learning and the teaching come with time as we spend time together in the Word, and we spend time together in praise and worship, and we spend time together before the throne, and as the Holy Spirit, who we invite, comes into each of our lives and begins to clear out and make clean a holy temple for himself in each of our bodies. It's his job to do that work. Let's not attempt to do that job for him, but rather simply share the good news and the gospel that has been given us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.